Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are in the Gospel of John, and we're like right in the middle, midpoint.
Right? Yep,
we're right at the midpoint. We're in chapters 11 and 12 this week, and these really are the last things before Passion Week. The whole second half of the book is Passion Week and shortly after that. So this is the basically the end of Jesus' ministry.
Right. Right, so to get everybody up to date, last week we talked about Jesus healed a blind man on the Sabbath, and this really had two different effects. First of all, for the people who saw it, some saw the miracle, and then many heard about the miracle, and they believed, which is exactly why Jesus did the miracle.
Right.
But second, the ruling class of Israel, they intentionally ignored the miracle, and they focused on working on Sabbath.
Yeah, broke the rules.
Right. So as Jesus is disrupting their system, they want him gone. Mm. Right. And we're going to see that gone even be harsher than that. And in our second chapter this week, Jesus compared himself to the good shepherd. And he was using the sheep and the shepherd analogy all over the place. And Jesus also infuriated the Pharisees when he tells them, "I and the Father are one." Mm-hmm. You know, literally picking up stones, getting ready to stone him.
Yeah.
So he moves away from Jerusalem again.
And that is actually where we pick up. So he's outside of Jerusalem. He's in an area where, definitely the temple guards, I don't know about the rest, maybe they don't have jurisdiction. Maybe they don't care. You know, he's not bothering us.
Right. Right.
And that's where we'll see him in Bethany in chapter 11 here. Yeah. But also, and this is just a point of reference, once we get into Passion Week, what Jesus' pattern was is during the day, he would go into Jerusalem, into the temple.
Right.
He would teach. He would be not be obnoxious, but he would really make them. Yeah, but disrupting is a good word. He would make them mad. And then in the evening,
he would go back out into
this area away from Jerusalem, and he would go back and forth every
day. Hey, where are you staying? Bethany.
In the Jordan area.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to list the hotel to you.
And that really makes sense when we hear what the disciples say in these first couple of verses here in chapter 11.
Right. Especially. All right. So a friend of Jesus by the name of Lazarus was sick. His sisters, Mary and Martha, they were the ones that were involved anointing Jesus with perfumed oil.
Mm-hmm.
And we find this in Matthew and Mark and now in John.
Mm-hmm.
The sisters send Jesus a note saying, "Come, Lazarus is sick." And they lived, like you said, in Bethany, which is about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So far enough away, but really too close for Jesus, who's been, taunting the Pharisees.
Well, and we're thinking like 2 miles is like just a couple minutes up the road.
Right.
Unless you're walking.
Right.
And let's not forget that Jerusalem is topographically, it's up on a hill. So if you are walking, say 3 miles an hour, 2 miles uphill, downhill, I mean, that's
at least an hour.
It's pushing an hour because you're not actually walking 3 miles an hour anymore, right? I mean, you're climbing. So it's still a good distance away by foot.
Right. Right. So Jesus knows that Lazarus is sick. And in verse 4, he explains exactly what's going to happen. And this took me way too long, too many years to figure this out, that he had it all laid out. But in verse 4, Jesus says to his disciples, "This sickness will not lead to death, but to God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Yeah.
So this is really the main point of this chapter is right here. And Jesus just lays it out for us. So Jesus, knowing that a good friend of his is sick, he waits 2 days. Right.
Instead of jumping up and running in.
Yeah, right. He waits 2 days and then says to his disciples, "Let's go to Judah." And the disciples are verbally scared. They know it's too close to Jerusalem. They're worried about the rulers who are trying to kill Jesus. And Jesus has said, "Guys, Lazarus has died. I intentionally waited. I was intentionally not there so that you guys can believe."
Yeah. So he's even further away. So Bethany's closer to Jerusalem, So they're a little nervous. They're like, "Okay, Bethany, it's only 2 miles or whatever. It's an hour's walk or whatever, but that's a little too close for comfort. You know, they were closer to the Jordan at this point."
Yeah. So we get further information too, and we know this raising of the dead is to show God's glory and the Son's glory and to help the disciples, and I put in, and us.
Yeah.
Because it does help us to believe.
Yep.
Thomas, the disciple, knows the risk and says sarcastically, "Oh, yes, let us go too so we can die with
him. Let's just all die together," right?
Yeah. But really, unknown to him, this event would really help solidify who Jesus actually was for the disciples.
Yeah. I mean, this is, they had seen him They had seen him bring people back to life before, but it was usually very like shortly after their death.
Right.
And so here's a, just an interesting point. This is a cultural thing, is that, you've heard of the term sitting Shiva, right? So that comes from the Hebrew word for seven. So it's a week long thing. Well, something in, at least at this time, I don't know that it's always been this way or even today, but at least at this time, from what I understand, the Jewish people often thought that a spirit could hang around a body for up to 3 days.
Right.
I don't know if they're expecting a miracle, you know, whatever, they, you know, that type of thing. After 3 days, there was no more hope.
Right.
Okay. No hope of coming back to life or being, you know, not even a resurrection, but, you know, they're going to be healed or something, right? There's no hope. So Jesus intentionally waited 4 days before he showed up. So that he could, he had never done this before with any of the other people that he brought back to life. It was always very quick. These people have no hope. They are now completely, even Mary and Martha are completely hopeless.
Right. And we see it in the text too. So Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, right? No question he's dead.
Yep.
Many from Jerusalem have come.
Yep.
They know he's dead.
Yep.
Jesus tells Martha that her brother will come back to life again. And Martha says, I know. He'll return in the resurrection on the last day, which is a great statement.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, that's not what I'm talking about. Just wait.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Yep.
Martha, again, was the Messiah. And Jesus has another of his famous I ams here.
Yeah.
When she says, returning in the resurrection, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life.
Yep.
Which is awesome. I am.
Yep.
And then right after this, if you're keeping track of the evangelistic passages, the one who believes in me will live even if he dies.
Yep.
And the one who lives and believes in me will never die.
Yeah.
I mean, great, right?
Yep. And then he asks the big question. And this is the big question that even, is still the gospel question that we use. Do you believe this?
Yeah.
Do you believe this? Right. And because you can preach the gospel, you can share the gospel, you can, you know, whatever, but it comes down to, do you believe this? Because if you don't believe this, then it's not going to be helpful for you at all. And I love that, right? This is a great passage for funerals,
right?
Because, you know, when I do a funeral, I ask the same question, you know, do you believe this, you know, while your loved one is
I think
is
you also ask that question during baptism.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Baptisms. So Jesus goes to the tomb. He has men move the stone out of the way, which is an indication this is a big stone, not a small stone. There are many people around that are grieving. Jesus reminds his disciples, guys, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see God's glory?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talks audibly to God. He speaks loudly to the tomb. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus comes out.
Yep.
Still bound in the cloth they wrapped him in.
Now, you skipped one of the most famous parts of the whole thing.
You gotta skip some parts. I mean, have to leave some parts out.
All right.
Go ahead.
No. What is the shortest verse of the Bible?
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept.
I was actually going to build the whole chapter around that in my discussion, and it got too convoluted, and I just left.
John 11:35, the shortest verse in the English Bible. Literally 10 characters if you include the space, 11 if you include the period, right?
Yep.
Jesus wept. And that really is a big part of the thing,
right? Is.
Because the Jews who had come around, they were all weeping. It's one thing. But for this guy who, you know, he claims he can do all this stuff. We've seen him do all this stuff. Right. And they looked at him and Jesus, I mean, he's about to bring him back to life. What does Jesus have to cry about, right? Why is he weeping?
Yeah. Personally, I was stuck on that verse for quite a long time with that exact same question. Why? And then you figure out, and to me, it goes back to Jesus announced to everybody before this thing even started, here's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus wept. Did he not know his Lazarus was going to be dead?
Yeah,
of course he did. Okay, so it's about something else,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
then you got to figure out what that something else is.
Yeah, and the clues are actually here in the chapter. In the first couple of verses, there's one clue, and then how the people respond is another clue. And if you remember who Jesus is and where he came from and what he's living, It's actually not that hard if you take a minute to look. So what you have to do is you have to send in your thoughts, nice, your response, and say, here's why I think Jesus wept. And we're looking forward to hearing what your thoughts are on that.
So many believed, which how can you not? I mean, it's that miracle. And I was going to bring up a magician too, right? A magician, you know, touches a bunch of stuff. Jesus wasn't there. He didn't place the stone. He didn't remove the stone.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a miracle.
Yeah, this was
not a magic trick.
Yep.
Yeah. So the Pharisees met and decided that Jesus needed to die. And I'm simplifying this, but the reasoning was he was doing too many miracles in there. And that would lead... And their thinking was that would lead the Romans to come, which would disrupt their society.
They actually said, if we allow this guy to keep going, the Romans will kick us out of our positions. The Romans will come and take our places away from us. This was purely a political thing.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't about, it was, I mean, they used religion as the cover. Oh, you being a man claim to be God, it's blasphemy. It's all political.
We have to keep our jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, John included that the high priest prophesied the solution to kill kill Jesus.
Yeah.
And although their motives were completely wrong, I mean, he nailed it. He prophesied that one man would die to save the nation. Yeah, right.
You get chills almost when you read that. Yeah.
So from that day forward, they actively planned to kill Jesus, and Jesus went away from the region to Ephraim.
Which then really helps us understand the whole Judas thing, because it's not like Judas went to them and they're like, okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
It's they already had a plan. Yeah. They were looking for someone who would
give us that opportunity.
Yep.
All right, chapter 12. So this chapter is about Jesus's anointing, and it may seem a little odd because in the past chapter, we actually talked about it, but now it's happening in 12.
Yeah, John referred to, this was Mary who anointed him. Well, it hadn't happened yet, but when he wrote the whole thing, everybody...
Yeah, exactly. So everybody knew from Matthew and Mark. I mean, it was already in there. They knew. So, at least that's my take on it, and it seems to be yours too.
Yeah.
So now he's putting this event in the order that it happened, and as a good Jew, Jesus has to attend the Passover.
Yeah.
So he's back in Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem, 6 days before Passover. He has 1 week to live.
Yep.
And there's a dinner with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Imagine that, right?
I love the fact. So Martha was serving, which you know that from the Gospel of Luke, because that's what she did. And it says, and Lazarus was present among those who were there. Like, can you imagine sitting around the table with the guy who was dead a week ago?
Do you sit next to him or do you stay away from him?
I mean, do you ask him, so what was it like? I mean, was the whole conversation for this entire time, like since chapter 11 all the way up to this, every meal was, you got to tell us the story again, you know?
I would think so. You know, especially because, you know, they probably didn't hear it. The first day, right? They had to leave, and now they're coming back. So, tell us the story.
By the way, just in case anybody's wondering, this is not the same Lazarus as in Luke 16 when Jesus tells the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Okay, Lazarus went to paradise with Abraham. The rich man was. This is not the same Lazarus. Okay, there are multiple people with the same name. We know that throughout the Bible. So, just in case you were wondering. Chapter 11 wasn't what Jesus was talking about when Lazarus died and, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay, so Jesus raises Lazarus. Now they're at a meal. After the meal, Mary takes an expensive aromatic perfume from pure nard and anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair.
Yep.
And Judas says, you wasted 300 silver coins that could have been used for the poor.
Yeah. John puts the little note. John... He writes little notes about Peter. He writes little notes about Judas. I mean, he's an old guy when he's writing this, and he's just sort of like giving the dirt on
people. So 300 silver coins. I mean, that's a lot.
It's a lot of money,
right?
Right.
I mean, you put some money in our notes. Said it was approximately $26,000 in today's money.
Yeah, if you figure based on today's current minimum wage, federal minimum wage, they would work a 12-hour day. So I figured by 12 hours, let's say 50 weeks, you minus some holidays because they wouldn't work Sabbaths and other stuff. Yeah, so let's just pour out $26,000 worth of perfume, ointment.
Yeah. So Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing here, says, leave her alone. It's for my burial. And I'm sure that stopped the conversation there.
Yeah.
So a large crowd of Judeans were there, and they learned that Jesus was there too, and they went to see him, and they went to see Lazarus. And in fact, so many that the chief police chief priest said, yeah, Lazarus needs to go too.
Yeah.
Because we can't have that proof walking around.
Well, and yeah, because it's proof. And, you know, so in the next election, Lazarus is going to run for mayor and, oh, you know, yeah, who's going right. to beat him? You know? Yeah, right.
I can save you too. So the next day, a large crowd took branches of palm trees and met Jesus as he was coming into Jerusalem. They were saying, blessed is the King of Israel. And I'm sure the chief priest had a problem with that too.
Yeah.
Jesus rode on a donkey, and that fulfills Zechariah 9:9. The crowd was continuing to tell everybody about Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb. And the Pharisees said, now's not the time. There's way too many people. These people are too excited. We're going to hold back.
Yeah.
Some Greeks wanted to meet Jesus, and Greeks would be non-Jews, not necessarily from Greece. Jesus ended that section with, if anyone wants to serve me, he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be too.
Yep.
And if anyone wants to serve me, the Father will honor him.
Yeah.
So we're getting closer now, and Jesus' soul is greatly distressed, he says. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew he was going to go through with it. He didn't have to like it.
Right.
But man...
If you look at the other gospel accounts, he has talked with his disciples at least three times where he's told them very clearly, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man, using the title, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, handed over to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They are going to kill him.
Right.
And then he's going to rise from the dead, be resurrected on the third day. I mean, he's laid this out many, many times for his disciples. They still didn't get it. They usually are either talking about something else. They change the subject. They argue to get back again. Oh, that's not going to happen. You know, they refuse to listen to it. So now he's getting close and they're not ready.
Right. Do you think it's because he didn't state, I am going to be killed? He always kind of throws a little bit, and we'll see it again. He throws a little bit.
He uses the titles instead of...
Right, instead of him.
Yeah, I think they're just... I mean, I think it just...
And maybe there was a number of people around and he was trying to let his disciples know that they would pick up on it, that maybe not everybody else would.
I think it's just the disciples were... On the one hand, you would think they were close enough that they could listen, but it's almost too close, right? Yeah. You know, it's sort of the forest for the trees type thing.
Well, this guy is the Messiah. How can the Messiah is not going to die? The Messiah will always be there.
And which is what the crowd said too, right? And this was part of Judas' problems. Judas, I mean, don't get me wrong. He betrayed Jesus. You know, he got what was coming to him, right? But here's the thing that most people miss about Judas is that he never intended for Jesus to die. Okay, he didn't betray Jesus for the purpose of killing him. Okay, he had come to the conclusion that Jesus was not the Messiah. He was just another one of the fakes. And Judas probably had not been duped by the other guys, but he was duped by Jesus. And that really made him mad, right? You know, I was so, you know, none of those other guys tricked me, but Jesus, I really thought he was the one. And it turns out he's not going to be the one. And I know that the Pharisees are trying to get him off of the, you know, get him out of the way. I don't think he understood exactly what they were going to do. So he says, I can put him into a place where you can get him. They're like, here's your money. Because when he finds out what they're going to do with
him, actually did.
He's like, this is not what I signed up for. I wanted nothing to do with that. right? So I sort of feel for Judas a little bit because he just thought that he had been tricked by Jesus. And now he was tricked by the Pharisees and the religious leaders. So I sort of feel for him a little bit from that standpoint. Not that, you know, I mean, he did what he did, and there's no questioning that. But he really, really he was really hoping that Jesus was the Messiah, which of course he is. But he let himself, you know.
Right. I hear what you're saying. I'm just letting you dig your own hole.
I know. It's just you want to feel for the guy.
Right.
All right.
So we have Jesus telling the crowds, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And the crowds, like you said, wait, the Christ is going to live forever. Yeah, where are you going?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, look, the light is with you a little longer. While you have the light, believe. And then many people believed, even some of the rulers. And the Pharisees stood firm, and people didn't want to be put out from the synagogue, it said. Right? Because when you went against them, first thing they did, they kick you out.
Yeah.
Right? And now... even if you still have your faith, you don't have a temple. You don't have the crowd.
Right.
And it said the Pharisee loved the praise from men more than the praise from God.
Yeah.
So at the end of this week, there are some great words that he said to the crowd, and he gives the Father full credit for this. And Jesus says that he didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. Jesus doesn't judge the one who hears his words and does not obey them, which that one's a little okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, Jesus' words will judge the one who rejects him.
Yeah, yeah. This is sort of a summary back of what John had said in chapter 3. And this is a summary. Chapter 12, basically a summary of the entire Passion Week. The other Gospels, you know, spent time, you know, and this day he did this, and this day, right. You know, all this stuff. John just gives the summary. You can read the other Gospels because he wants to get to Thursday night.
And what he wants to get to.
Get to the Passover and everything, yeah.
So that's the end of our reading this week.
Yeah, I think 37 is really interesting. Verse 37, although Jesus had performed so many miraculous signs before them, they still refused to believe in him.
Yeah.
And that's the key. It's that they refuse to believe.
Right. So, next, you know, show me one more. No.
One more is not going to solve it, right? What sign will you show us? I've shown you all the signs. You know, if someone, and I think this is a good pattern too, not that we want to give up on people, but there are some people who just refuse to believe. It doesn't matter what you say. It does. Here's a question that I've started to ask people. So what evidence will you believe? What proof is enough for you? What will satisfy?
Right.
And I've never heard a good answer to that. Well, I don't know. I don't know what'll be enough. Well, I mean, you know, there are some people who just refuse to believe. And you can't do anything about that. We can't change hearts.
Right. Well, that's not our job.
Right.
Our job is to present the gospel.
Right. And so you may be in a situation where you're praying for someone who is refusing to believe. You can't change that, but you keep praying for them. God can change hearts, right? If they are willing to submit to him. And that's really the thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got Jesus standing there doing miracles and they wouldn't even believe.
Right.
So, well, a couple of things that we've asked you for your comments on. Make sure that you get back with us about this thing in chapter 11 and why Jesus was crying and some of this other stuff in chapter 12. We'd love to hear from you. Share this with your friends and family. Subscribe so that you can pick up the other stuff that we put on the channel here. And we will come back next time as we go into the second half of the Gospel of John.
Great. Look forward to seeing you. Bye.